Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Munga, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, my brother, and how are you today?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
We are doing great. How are you doing down south?
No, down south is okay, Pastor. I cannot complain at all. I do know that up there, you're also good.
Very good indeed.
Now, we're talking about discerning God's will for one's life. And the question really is, how do we reconcile what the Bible says about the absolute sovereignty of God with the equally valid scriptural teaching that man has been given free will? Now, if God controls everything, how can we be genuinely responsible for our choices and actions? And so I want to delve deep into this thought and actually get to understand exactly this will of God in our lives. So, Pastor, what is the balance between God's will and my free will for my life?
Thank you. As we prepare to look at the balance, the first thing I think we have to establish is the relationship between you and God. Who is God to you?
Mm.
He is your creator. He is my creator.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can look at the balance that he made you.
Yeah, yeah.
Having made you, just like when you manufacture a pen, you manufacture this pen for writing. But we are different from machines, that we are human beings. He still gives us a will. I look at Jeremiah, who is a youth enjoying his time, and then God speaks to him. I'm calling you to be a prophet. Said, no, I can't do that. In the first place, I'm too young. And then he says, I can't speak, like it was with Moses and the others, I can't speak. But God says, when you are still in your mother's womb, I made you to be a prophet.
Mm.
So we have got a perfect balance there. Yes, you have got your will. Like we have got another wonderful example is Amos. Amos, who confessed in Amos chapter 7, verse 14. He says, no, this thing of being a prophet, it was not in me after all. Me, I was comfortably a herdsman, I was a farmer, doing my crop husbandry, then God called me.
Mm.
So the balance that we find is that what God has planned for you is the best and is better than what you may, as a human being, come up with. So meaning we are supposed to merge your will and his will. When we walk with him, we find that we'll be speaking one language. God will reveal to you what he designed you to do. And when you are in that lane, then you are comfortable, you'll be happy, and you will not have any stress in your life.
Hmm. Now, can God use us to desire something that we will never have?
In the first place, the promises of God are sure and certain. Whatever God promises, you can only lose it by disobedience.
Okay.
Or you can only delay it by disobedience. You remember the case of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Promised a son with a wife, years are passing. He's 100 years. The wife has gone beyond the age of having, but now he looks at himself instead of looking at God. So when they made a plan B to have a child in their own way, by the time the child of promise was born, it was after 13 years.
Mm.
So we can delay God's plans for us by disobedience. But otherwise, whatever God promises you, whatever God shows you, he will bring it to pass. Talk about Joseph. You may not even understand it. He'll reveal to you. Joseph tells the father, the family, no, this is what I saw. Everyone's going to bow down before me. So whatever God promises, he cannot make you to desire for something. And then he said, no, I was just joking. No. The Bible is very clear. He does not lie.
Tell me, Pastor, are there no people, though, who have gone to the grave with their promises still not met?
Yeah, like I said, your promise, what God promises you, you can only miss it when you disobey him.
Mm.
Like it was with Jacob. Jacob was, before he was born, that the younger one will be greater. The older one will save this one. But when Jacob heard about it, he said, no. Ah, this thing was given to me. They connive with the mother. They get that thing by themselves, and he was 20 years in exile.
Mm.
So you can only lose what God promises you if you disobey him. But not that God has failed on his part. No, no, God promised me a car, but I can't see the car now. This person has died. God had promised him this and that. No. Then there are also certain things, like we find in the book of Daniel, where God tells Daniel that what I'm showing you, it is not for your age. Mm-hmm. It is for it to come at the end. He even told Daniel, no, 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 just keep quiet. He was bothered. He wanted to see this. No, no, what I'm revealing you is for generations after you. So there's nothing that God can fail to fulfill.
I'm thinking, though, where, you know, I'm looking at Abraham and Sarah of advanced age. And of course, 10 years gone by, no child. And a decade ago, God promised this. And of course, you know, with the age, you know, knocking on the door, you're thinking, you know what? Let's just make a plan, man, because it's clear that God is probably busy with other people. So I don't think we can blame them, should we?
No, we have to blame them, and we have to blame ourselves. Because when God promises, you are not looking at your promise, you are looking at the one who has promised. Is he capable of fulfilling his promise? Mm-hmm. If he is capable, the issue of time does not come.
Okay.
Because if you, Brother Lotte, say, I will come, I should not be worried about when you will come. You have spoken, and I trust you. Mine is to wait. If you have not come today, you don't come tomorrow, the other day.
Yeah, but I think it's not an easy one. Eh? It's not an easy one.
No wonder the Bible tells us, you know, in Galatians where they say the fruit of the Spirit, one of them is patience, waiting.
Yeah. Now, does God go or always give us an alternative to his instruction? Now, for example, did Jonah have a choice of whether or not to go to Nineveh? Did Moses have a choice when it came to confronting Pharaoh? Did Esther have a choice when Mordecai asked her to speak to the king? So does God give us an alternative to his instruction?
The instruction is always there, like we have mentioned, the freedom of choice, like Jonah. Right from the book of Jonah chapter 1 to chapter 4, Jonah is very clear. He wants the people of Nineveh to perish. And he's deliberate about it. God tells him to go to Nineveh. He goes to Tarshish, the opposite direction. And even finally, when he's taken to Nineveh, even when he's reluctant preaching to those people, to his surprise and to his annoyance, people repent and then they are saved. And he even tells God, say, this is why I didn't want to come here.
Yeah.
Because I know you are merciful, you are loving. You have saved these people. So he was determined that these people be lost. But what he didn't know, that when sinners are destroyed, he could have been destroyed too. So we see that Jonah was very clear. God wants him to head this side. He wants to head in the opposite direction. So he had a choice. Even when he paid that fare to go the opposite direction, that was still freedom of choice. Talk about Moses. Moses, remember the excuse that he gave. No, I can't do this. I can't do this. And even God is talking to him. But ultimately, he had a choice whether to go there or not to go there. The same applies with Esther. Remember in Esther chapter 4, verse 14, Mordecai tells him, if you keep quiet, God will send help using another way. If you keep quiet, God will send help in another way. Meaning, Esther could have kept quiet and said, me, I'm a queen already. Even if those people die out there, I'll survive. But she was warned. No, no, no. Don't think that you are going to survive alone in the palace. Yeah. But Mordecai says, even if you don't do your part, even if you keep quiet, which was an option, God will still send help. So all these are choices. God will speak, but there's a choice whether you are going to follow to do what God has told you or you will not.
You know, talking about that choice and, you know, having to do what God has instructed vis-a-vis our own choice. And some may argue, actually, that the choice between obeying God vis-a-vis condemnation to hell is not really a choice, honestly, because, I mean, it says if you obey, eternal life. If you don't obey, you're going to die. So which means that it's actually a coercion. Is that a fair assessment?
No, it's not a question. God's question, I think, is even stronger than force. It's like God is forcing, God is manipulating you if you don't do this. But what is very clear that God gives us this.
Well, if you don't do it, you're going to die. That's a fact. So there's no choice there.
Yes. No, the choice is there. You remember yesterday we talked about the flood. God was very plain. If you don't get into the ark, you are going to perish. And people, the majority actually chose. not to go into the ark.
So are you saying that as humanity, we can actually knowingly and consciously choose to die? I don't think so.
Pardon? You say as human beings, we can.
Mm.
We can. Talk about people who, let me say, who commit suicides, who do this. It's deliberate. Someone says, this is going to kill me, but I'll still do it.
Yeah.
God has said, don't do this. But someone still says, I am going to do it with full knowledge.
Mm.
They do it. So even those people were told with full knowledge, when you do this, this is what will happen to you.
Mm.
Remember, even when they were choosing a king, they say, no. God tells them using a prophet, when you choose a king, this is what he's going to do. They say, it is fine. This is what we want. And what God does God do? He gave them their choice, and they harvested the consequences.
Mm. It does look like God does not really, you know, have much choice after all, because if you're going to do this way, then I welcome you. But, you know, if you don't not going to do this, then just go and die somewhere there. So literally it sounds like, you know, in my language we say uzwi, like a man who just wants to speak and no one speaks. So it does feel that truly, there could not be a choice. For instance, God gives us 10 commandments. Are they negotiable?
They are not.
Not negotiable. So you see, it's cast in stone. You do this or else. No choice then. Not so?
Yeah, but we must also then know the underlying reasons for the same.
Mm.
Whatever God tells you to do is for your own good.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever God says you should not do, it is for your own destruction.
Okay.
So meaning when God says you do this, you talk about the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
If today all South Africans says that we are going to obey the Ten Commandments, prisons are going to be shut. Crime is going to reduce to zero in South Africa today. Just on the Ten Commandments. So ultimately, you find that whatever he brings to us is for our own good, for our own benefit. Talk about the peace of mind that you'd enjoy walking in the night in Cape Town, Pretoria. You don't have to look around and say, who is this one coming to me? Who will knock at my door? So whatever he brings across, whatever he brings on the table, it is for our best and only good.
Yeah, I know that it's for our best. And, you know, I'm looking at the message here. It says that this listener, you're not just going to die, you're going to burn. So it's actually, it's got that cruelty sense to it that, you know, do this or go burn.
But how cruel will God be when he has given you time? He has given you to choose. So when you are going to burn, whatever way we can scorch, touch, whatever happens, that will have been your choice. All people, like we mentioned yesterday, God wants all of us to be saved. And if we chose to be saved, all of us can live forever, eating from the tree of life, drinking from that river. So meaning, even when you talk about burning, it is because you have chosen not to be saved eternally, not to go and live forever. So the blame should not be on God, but the blame should be on my side, because I have chosen that way. God has presented, this is the best way.
But Pastor, that is good. I think that God is really putting us into a corner here. This is really no choice, because I mean, you are left with either burning or following God's instruction. So effectively, you are put in a corner. You're literally cornered, in a way, to say you're cornered. I mean,
it's like somebody out with a pistol, you eat this or I shoot you.
Exactly. I mean, you're literally cornered. Eh? It does look like that. So you've got.
Let's look at the other way. What would you lose by being saved eternally?
You're probably not going to lose anything.
What would you lose by following God? Yes, you don't lose anything. Actually, you are going to enjoy life at the utmost.
Would it not then be better?
When you do not choose.
Would it not be better then to say, you know what? If you choose God, you're going to have eternal life. If you don't choose God, you're going to lose out on this. I think it's better than to say, if you don't choose God, he's going to kill you and burn you.
It's who has chosen to be there. So you've taken your own poison. Your choice is your poison.
Yeah.
But not that God has forced this on you, but because this is the choice that you have made. Mm. And you have made it without anyone forcing you. You can imagine the other religion where you are forced to kneel down. You are forced, no, this month you are not supposed to eat this and that.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't do that. He does not hold you by the collar, but say, this is what I have for you, abundance, eternal life. But when you reject eternal life, then you have got the other choice. Again, that is your choice. And he does not force you, by the way. He just tells you, when you go this side, this is what you are going to get.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get this, this is what you are going to get. I think that is fair. But if you are just going to lose things, okay, if you don't want this, find your own thing somewhere. No. Then he ceases to be a creator.
Yeah. All right. No, I get you. So God is literally just giving us options to choose from. He's not putting us in a corner. He's not putting a gun in our, foreheads. No, he's saying that choose life and have a good one indeed. Or if you don't choose life, and the opposite then is also true. And so any wise person will then choose life. Is that the conclusion?
Exactly.
Hmm. All right, Pastor, I must thank you so much for your time. Indeed, always a pleasure talking to you. And of course, this day was no different. Pastor Munga there joining us, talking about discerning God's will for your life and dissecting some of the issues about God's will. I mean, I'm thinking, Pastor, this guy is sent to Nineveh. It doesn't go there. God still sends a whale or
a
big ship, and then it sends him there, and all of that. But thank you so much for that, Pastor.
You're most welcome, and God bless you and our listeners.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, there you have it. That is Pastor Munga there talking about God's will in our lives.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.